can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone.
Now, let's start the timer. Anthony, how do you feel today?
I'm just fine. It's kind of a weird day at work. I was mostly not busy. I had a meeting that eventually turned into, like, I gathered all this data for it. I did a whole bunch of work for it, and it went nowhere. Oh, basically, all of the work that I did was for nothing. So I had a moment where I was mildly perturbed after that, and the person who had requested some of the data also went to great lengths to interrupt me during the call, to, like, while I was presenting my findings, and so that was really fucking annoying.
Listeners, if you've never worked corporate, that is extraordinarily common. And on top of that, in corporations, you're so focused on everything you do is super beneficial to the company financially, like all the choices you make need to benefit the company. But then this stuff happens all the time.
So fucking often. And that was kind of the annoying part, was that this was kind of a project that landed in my lap. I didn't ask for it. I didn't go out of my way for it. I got invited to this meeting. I was sitting back thinking I wouldn't contribute at all to this meeting. And then it turned out I was the only person who had, like, the skill sets or who was equipped to find the data that people were asking for. And so I was like, okay, well, I will take this on because, like, I'm the only person who can.
Yeah.
And then we just threw it all out the window in the follow-up meeting. So I was like, well, that was really annoying because I wish I hadn't been there in the first place. Then all of this wouldn't have happened. And I wouldn't have had to, like, do this. But it's whatever. I mean, you know, like you said, it happens all the time. It's corporate America. Oh, you know,
yeah.
I put together these projects for people and the...
I literally got to the point where my brain's like, I still got paid. I don't care if this wasted time anymore. Like, this is so common that I'm like, whatever.
I'm, like, mildly annoyed at this point, but I'm not really angry. I feel like if you had caught me on the same day, like, probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, I would have been really pissed off, and I would have been in a real grumpy mood. Not that I was in a great mood anyways. I kind of woke up in a bad mood, but, you know, I mean, shit happens. So, here we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so I'm fine. I'm, you know what, the day's over, work day's done. I'm not gonna worry about this project anymore. If anybody wants more data on it, they can ask me, but otherwise, fuck them.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I land on things.
Yeah, so anyways, how are you?
Oh, I'm tired. Oh, goodness. I feel like the last few weeks I've been on this chaos train of random things going on, and I'm just tired. Every day I feel like I'm like trying to keep up at everything, and I'm ready for things to calm down. I don't think that's coming anytime soon, but
I keep waiting for things to calm down just generally. And that doesn't happen. It just, things continue to pile on. I think that's the worst part of being an adult. You know, I think back at like my childhood and I think of like my parents and I don't like, my parents had company over from time to time, but it wasn't so frequently. So finding myself as an adult entertaining people and having all these social obligations all the time, I'm just like, what the fuck, man? Like, I don't want to trade this off for a child because, you know, a child's like an always thing. But I wish I had some permanent part of, like, yeah, I wish I had an excuse that was as heavy as a child so that I could get out of shit.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like the one plus side to parenting is you'd be like, oh man, I can't make it. My kid's got, I don't know, a dick ball. My kid's got a fart in a bottle and, you know, hide it under his bed. I don't know. I don't know what kids do.
Exactly that.
Perfect. But yeah, I feel like it's been, you know, we've just been doing a whole bunch of social obligations. So it's been a busy few weeks, but it's tapering off a little bit and I'm trying to be more purposeful about saying no to social obligations.
Yeah.
Because we had this whole big span of doing everything for several weeks. And now I'm just like, okay, that's got to shut off because I am at my wit's end with it. My energy levels are gone. Like my social battery is just dead. Like,
well, and I got to a point where I wasn't really doing things on weekends anymore. And then finally I was like, all right, you need to socialize a little bit because you've been so busy that you just haven't seen people. So I started socializing more and usually it's a Saturday. I'll socialize with friends in some sort of sense. And that's been nice, but I'm real bad about people will be like, do you want to do stuff Sunday? Do you want to do stuff Friday? And I'm like, hold on. Saturday.
Yeah, keep it to one day. I feel like that is a good answer to that because we stay busy mostly Saturdays is when we end up socializing because Joe is also off work on Saturdays. And so it makes it easy for us to do that. But like, it's when I have something to do Friday and Saturday. And then Sunday, I generally try to like visit my family every other weekend. But it's also socializing and to a degree. Like it's not, you know, it's still socializing even though it's family. And so this last Sunday, thank God we didn't really have anything planned. Funny enough, my mom texted me at like 8:30 Saturday night and was like, hey, I'm down visiting your grandma, which is the universal code for you should come visit because I'm here. And
there is some beep in my house. I don't know what it is.
I will continue to talk while you figure out what the beep is.
Please do.
Yeah, you've got your headphone in, so you just have to listen to me. You can't talk back. Now you're like my therapist. But anyways, yeah, so she texts me at like 8:30 p.m. and is telling me that she's there. And I'm just like, okay, I was planning on doing nothing tomorrow. And then I started feeling that guilt trip, you know, because parents give you that guilt trip. Or at least my mom did. And so anyways, like at some point I was like, you know what? No, no. We had a friend fly into town on Friday night. And granted, he only stayed with us Friday night and Saturday morning for lunch. I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to just tell her that we've got company in from down to town. And that was technically true, but it was really just more me wanting to like spend the day with myself because I haven't had a chance to do that in a while. And so, yeah, that's what I did all day Sunday. And it was awesome. I mean, absolutely fantastic. I sat down. I did nothing aside from I got up and I went to Sonic and I got a supersonic breakfast burrito with a cherry limeade. And I came right back and I sat my ass down on that couch and I did jack diddly fucking squat all day. And it was awesome.
That sounds lovely. And I think I just figured out what it was, but I have not fixed it yet.
So we're just going to have to deal with the beep. There it
is. I think I'm going to go pull it off the wall in a second whenever I finish my sentence and see if I can resolve it. I think it's my carbon monoxide detector battery's low.
It sounds like it.
At first I was like, but my fire is wired into the house. So I was confused, but...
Your house battery is low.
It wouldn't be the first thing that's going bad. I'm literally waiting for a text right now for a refrigerator delivery because while I was out of town last week, early last week, my fridge died while I was gone.
Ah, shit. Yeah, that's
and
right.
So I'm replacing that. And on top of that, I just feel like everything's just chaos lately.
You have a lot of stuff going on. You really do.
Yeah. But I totally understand the burnout.
Yeah, I'm trying not to be burnt out with everything. Listener, this is going to be a very Anthony-heavy episode because Jay is having house technical difficulties. So you guys just have to deal with me for a little bit. But
we'll see if that fixed it.
But yeah, it's been burnout across the board for a lot of things lately, and I'm trying really, really hard to bring myself back from that and carve out some peace for myself in my life. So yeah, it's been a challenge the last several weeks, but it's been a good challenge. I feel like I'm on a positive. I'm headed in a positive direction. It's just taking a lot of work.
Yeah. Like, I keep having this feeling big things are coming, and I'm just like, okay, is this in my mind? Like, I need something to confirm this or settle down.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing that's been driving me crazy is I've got this want to get out of Oklahoma to move to Minneapolis, and every day I feel like not doing it already is some sort of failure.
Oh my gosh.
That is so frustrating. So I'm trying so hard to find some contentment in the process and to not get on myself about where I'm at versus where I want to be.
It's funny how just the burnout in general, though, can amplify all of those challenges you feel inside where you feel a little bit defeated because things aren't going your way at the time being. You feel defeated because you're not where you want to be at life at the moment. You're defeated because these goals you have, you're not achieving yet. And when you're on burnout, it feels so much stronger. And it feels so much more detrimental to our thought process. And I think not only then are we going through burnout, we're ragging on ourselves more. And that's exhausting. That's just so exhausting. And so then it's overstimulating hanging out with people so often and seeing people so often and having obligations from other people because you've completely just drained yourself.
Yeah. Well, and as an introvert, I mean, that makes it even worse.
Yeah. So, and on weekends, like, I want to hang out with people because I'm like, oh, I have really good friends. I like that. But I don't want to hang out with people because it's exhausting. I have to communicate and be outgoing for those time being, which I'm not even that outgoing anymore. I just follow along with stuff, but the thought of being involved constantly in conversation and all, it's exhausting.
It's a lot. I mean, we did that pool party weekend before last, and it was, oh my God. I guess it was weekend before the weekend before last. I don't know. It feels so much closer because I'm tired.
oh my God, yeah.
But like, it was so much. And it was people that I knew for sure. But like, at the same time, I don't know. I feel like when you get to a certain place in life, a lot of what you talk about is so compartmentalized. A lot of your conversations can either be related to your work, they can be related to politics, or they can be related to, I guess, pop culture is the other thing. And so it becomes very difficult to navigate those conversations with people because, like, House of the Dragon, that series that's on Max right now, they wanted to talk about that. And I was like, I don't fucking watch that. Like, not because I'm hating on it, but I just finished Game of Thrones like several weeks ago for the first time in my life. And I was so mad at the ending that I'm boycotting anything that's related to it. But yeah, and I mean, like, a lot of my interests are not niche, but they're nerd stuff. And apologies to gay nerds out there, because I know you're listening. But at the same time, there's a lot of, like, gay spaces that aren't as accepting of nerd culture. Not really accepting, it's just that nobody who's really as involved in it as I am. And so finding that intersection of queer space and nerd space is difficult at times, because those are the things that I enjoy and I can talk about. I can talk about ad infinitum, but, like, you get me going off on a tangent about, well, I don't know, the Alien movie franchise, and, like, a few people might understand a little bit of it, but mostly people aren't going to appreciate it as much as I appreciate it. And I'm going to spend a lot of time info dumping on you because I get excited.
Well, and I'm in this wheelhouse where I'm like, your nerd stuff, I can understand it for the most part. So, but I don't have, like, this deep attachment to it, but I also don't fit in with a lot of other gays where I'm like, oh my God, RuPaul's Drag Race. All of these other shows that kind of align with that. I don't hate them. I understand them. With the right people, I enjoy watching them. Do I actively seek them out myself? Absolutely not. So I don't even know where I fit in that instance.
I feel like Drag Race is, we've been watching it. We've been binging all of it. And so we're finally almost caught up with Drag Race. And I didn't like it the first several times I tried to watch it. And now I really like it. And part of me wonders, I've got this really awesome personality trait, super cool, that makes it to where I really try to be one of those people that's like, if everybody wants to get excited about a show or like a thing, that I immediately don't want to be involved in it. And I think it stems from being like a kid and not being popular and like constantly having to like find myself in counterculture, as far as whatever counterculture can exist in a town of 500 Oklahomans. But
true,
you know what I mean? I mean, it's very much like I find myself, I never fit in whenever I was growing up. And so I find myself actively finding my comfort zone in not fitting in.
I also think it's our parents didn't have the financial means and chose not to use any financial means to buy things for us that a lot of other kids had. So we were always watching a lot of other kids have stuff that we couldn't afford, or my parents were just like, that's a waste of money. So we were never allowed really to fit in with everyone. And so we kind of, as we got older, were wired to be like, I don't need that necessary, or I don't need that hype item, because look how long I've gone without it. You know, kids gamed all the time and I didn't have the money for it. So I never had a gaming system until mid-teenage years. So I was way behind everyone on how to play, what to play, all of that.
Which I get that, but I mean, so that was the thing, is I did have gaming systems, but like, I guess I hit adolescence at a time whenever gaming still was not very cool with most people, or at least in our town it wasn't. And so it still wasn't anything that was going to be give me popularity, but it was, I enjoyed it. It was my escape. You know, it's an easy way to escape into like a fantasy world and to just get away from things for a while. And when you're, you know, a little gay boy growing up in small town Oklahoma in the Bible Belt and being told that, you know, you're going to hell all the time from coming sideways at it because people are telling you gay people are going to hell and they don't know because they're pieces of shit and they don't take that into account. So, you know, you look for escapism, and that was my escapism, but I don't think it really necessarily made me any kind of popular. It was just more of like a, you know, I don't know. I always found myself thinking I was going against the grain, and then whenever I finally did start getting acceptance, like sophomore year, I found myself being a lot more like, oh, now people actually like me and I'm going to dive into this. But a lot of that, those habits still carry over today. So like, yeah, when Game of Thrones just like the first time it came out, I know I mentioned it earlier, but like, I just avoided it at all costs because people were gushing about it. They were just going on and on and on. And I was like, I am tired of hearing about it.
Yeah. It would make me less interested in watching it.
Yeah. I was the same way. Same thing with a fucking Breaking Bad. Oh my
God. Oh yeah. I do remember Game of Thrones, how it was hyped up so much. And then finally the final season, everyone at work that I'm friends with was talking about it. And I'm like, God damn it. I want to understand what you're saying. And I want to be able to, you know, participate. So then I fucking binge the entire series, which made me hate it more because that's not a good show to just force binge.
Well, it's not a good show for a lot of the show. Let's just be honest about it. I think there's a lot of buy-in people get with characters, and you get a lot of buy-in from like the drama of it, but.
And as I went through it, especially the first two seasons, I really just sat there and I was like, why on earth do people like this?
I watched the first two seasons at least three times, and then I watched the first through third season one time, and that was the last time before this most recent watch that I had tried. And I got all the way through the third season, and I was like, why am I doing this? I don't like it.
Yeah. Oh my
I'm
God.
I'm not enjoying it, and I'm just tired of spending my time doing this so I can get some fucking cultural references when I could just look it up on the internet.
I'll never forget the final season and the fight scene that was at night. And I was watching it on my laptop in the daytime, and I paused it and made myself like wait until nighttime so I could turn all the lights off and watch it.
Yeah.
Still watched it and was like, this barely helped. You still can't see anything. Who filmed this fucking movie?
That last season was such a travesty. But to relate it to mental health, because that is what this podcast is about, I do think that does, there is that like counterculture sort of experience that you have whenever you are trying so hard to like find your place in the world and realizing your place is not going to be with the mainstream. It's just never going to be that.
Yeah.
And so finding your space in counterculture, I do think that bleeds into my interests a lot, mm-hmm. because I will avoid things that are very popular. But House of the Dragon is one of those things right now where people keep going on about it. And I'm like, I don't want to fucking watch this because I'm tired of hearing about it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
For me, it's actually kind of funny because when people are like, what's your hobbies? And I'm like, I don't really know, because I just go by the whim. Whatever I'm in the mood for at the moment, I'll game some, and then I'll do that hardcore for like a month or something, and then I'll be like, done, let's move on to something else. And then I'm working on my car for a while, done, moving on to something else. So I don't really have a set hobby, and I start to question myself a lot. like why can I have something that I have this infatuation with like other people do?
So I think that's also a sort of side effect of trying to be normal. And let me put that in massive air quotes if you're not watching the video. Is we talk about hobbies all the time. And I mean, it is a culturally mainstream thing where everybody should have a hobby, right? And then if you don't have a hobby, you start wondering, like, what the fuck's wrong with me?
Yeah. But
honestly, life is fucking exhausting, man. Like, if you go to work and you go home and you just chill for the evening, I get it, because life is hard and it's fucking tiring. Your yeah. hobby, a lot of times, is just making sure the fucking house stays together. Or, you know, just watching TV. I mean, technically, it's a hobby. I mean, you know, I get it. It's not the same as, like, reading, because it's not as intellectually engaging, but you are, like, in that time, you're absorbing a story. But I think, like, for the longest time, people would ask me what my hobbies were, and I'd sit there and I'd be like, well, I like to game, and I like to watch TV, and I like to write, and I like to read. But honestly, for the very longest time, up until probably the last year or two, my hobby was just drinking. Like, I just come home and I just drink and watch TV, and yeah. that was pretty much it. And I'm finding myself in this space where I am on an actively drinking less journey, which is awesome and also awesomely fucking frustrating at the same time, when you've used it to cope for years and years. Because now I have to like figure out, you know, how to cope without it. And turns out, you know, it's not as hard as I thought it was. It's annoying as fuck. But I'm hoping, and as I'm going through this, you know, I don't know if it's a sobriety journey or not. Let's just call it drinking less journey. Let's just start there. Let me not commit too hard to myself yet, so that I don't break anything too soon, because I don't want to be overwhelmed by it. But I'm hoping as this goes on that I find more passion back in my other hobbies. Like hiking, I will get back to doing. I wanted to do it the last couple of days, but it is balls hot outside, listeners. Like, it is so fucking hot outside, and I'm just not going to go out there and do it. I've done it a few times in this heat, and I'm not feeling it right now. But I'm hoping as that goes on, like, I get some more passion back for some of my other hobbies, that my motivations sort of slowly creep back in. And I think the hardest part about it is that I'm having to give it time and let it air. And I want that instant gratification. I want it now. I want overnight flip a switch.
Yeah, I am real bad about wanting instant gratification for a lot of stuff. We all do. We're because so used to it. I'm very impatient whenever I'm waiting for things, and I hate that. I think another reason why I want to find a hobby of some specific sort is because I know a lot of people utilize hobbies as an escape, kind of a mental escape to get away from all their busy thoughts. I don't know how exactly to leave my thoughts. They're always there, always going. And so I think I just want to figure out that hobby that can finally give me an escape. It would almost probably be like an addiction, because I could really just leave my standard thought process and escape into something that makes me happy. But I don't quite know exactly what that is still.
Well, so like a lot of recovering addicts wind up being like really involved in exercise. And it's because addicts are just, they've got the perseverance of marathon runners, because they're just going to do things even if it hurts them over and over and over. And so like, that's why I like hiking, because I can go do it and it will take me out of my head for a little bit. Like, sometimes it doesn't, and that's just is what it is. But a lot of times, if it's hot and I'm sweating and I'm like jogging, like if I'm doing something that gives me those endorphins, like I can get out of my head for just a minute. It's sort of like a meditative practice.
Yeah, I can once in a blue moon get out of my head. It's I've been recently reusing the Balance app, trying to meditate some and clear my mind, and that'll help. But you know, it's easy to lose track of that and go right back down your path. So it lasts a few minutes. So I mean, I take pride in those moments, but it's so wild how I can literally sit and like play music on the piano or something, and I'll be busy in thought, still ruminating stuff while I'm reading music. Playing games, I'm still kind of going down my thought processes of everything that's on my mind lately, and it's not as bad as it used to be since I'm on medication, but it's still just like going. It's at least one thought rather than a whole bunch of thoughts.
That does make it easier. I feel like as you're going through, because you're starting therapy right now, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like actual, factual therapy. Not this. This doesn't count.
Yeah, like a licensed person's helping me.
Yeah, somebody who's not me. Been through a lot of therapy myself, but I wouldn't trust me with my own therapy. I'm the one who got me here, so that's if that tells you anything. But I feel like that does, as you go through therapy and as you practice some of the things that come into play, like it does get easier to manage your thoughts, because you'll find ways to not only get out of your own head, but like as you're practicing better self-talk, it gets easier. Your thoughts won't be as intrusive or upsetting because they're more gentle with yourself, and so they're not as hard to deal with.
I am getting better at recognizing when I am going down a negative path, and I'll stop it better than I used to. I don't feel like I have to run from that. I know in 22, whenever I was going through my, it was post-breakup, and I was really going, you really need to work on yourself. And so I started kind of focusing and evaluating more of me, and it was chaos. It was a lot going in my mind, and it was a lot of finding out things that I didn't like about myself. And I was brutal, which I kept trying to tell myself that, you know, you have to understand that this is how you were designed by how you were raised, and you just need to begin adjusting this. And it was a lot of negative talk for sure. And I kind of spiraled that year a little bit, and I was running away from myself a lot because I hung out with friends 24/7. I traveled with them 24/7. I just was never home because I was so busy. I didn't realize it at the time, but I was so busy running from time to dwell on my own thoughts that much because they were aggressive and busy and more negative than they should have been. So nowadays it's nicer that they're not that negative, I guess. But they're still busy.
Well, I mean, you know, you can't fix everything overnight.
And we're out of time.
Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone, and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the US or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.